This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. Following widespread rain today, the eastern Corn Belt will see additional rain through Monday. World Weather Incorporated says a drier weather pattern will occur through May 15th, allowing for good planting progress. World Weather says totally dry weather is not expected, with widely scattered light shower activity occurring most days. The northern plains will see warming temperatures and rapid crop progress with scattered rain showers. World Weather says the second week of the two-week outlook will be the wettest.
The seasonal decline in rain activity will continue in Brazil over the next 2 weeks. World Weather Incorporated says field work and the safrinha crop should advance well. Far southern Brazil will see frequent rains through mid-May. World Weather says dry weather and favorable conditions will be most common for Argentina.
Larimore, North Dakota farmer Carl Hoverson says recent rains were welcome, helping recharge some dry soils and support early season planting progress.
We needed the rain, so we're happy about that. We're half done with potatoes ready. Here we're half done with beets. I mean, I'm not half done with corn or anything yet, but you know, it's better than most years. It's first of May, you know, so looks like we got good weather coming, so it looks like we should be all rock and roll here in a couple of days.
Hoverson remaining optimistic about the season.
This takes time. You know, this is normal. I don't think this is abnormal by any means. This year we're already half done with potatoes, so that's good. And then we'll finish. If we can finish by the 15th, you know, we're in a very good position. We'll finish before that if the weather is what it says it's supposed to be.
The Senate passed the agriculture budget bill with a 43-23 margin. Agriculture Committee Chair Eric Putnam said this budget invests in emergency preparedness, meat and dairy inspection, wolf and elk depredation, and mental health. The bill differs from the House version.
I'm not a partisan guy, but we acted like grown-ups and the House did not. So my budget target was negative. I was cutting. So I had to cut some stuff and move some stuff around in order to put more money in different places. You'll see a big difference with the House target, which was an additional $17 million in brand new spending. So I had a negative target, and they had $17 million in new spending. I don't know where they got it from. But so because of that, I made some cuts in some grant programs that weren't fully used, moved some money around from here and there. And we tried to do the best we could while being as fiscally responsible as we could.
Red River Farm Network asked Senator Putnam how those differences could be resolved in the conference committee.
I have no idea, man. It's going to be a mess. There's a big gulf between those two budget targets. What we do now that both bills are passed through each body, we wait for leadership and the executive to come up with global targets when they tell us exactly how much we will be able to spend. But we can't actually kind of divvy up the resources until we know what kind of resources we have. Hopefully that'll be soon, but it might be still a couple days.
The North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney will not be seeking re-election during the organization's annual meeting in December. Watney has been in his role since 2013. In a statement, Watney says it's time to let a new generation lead us into the future.
Watney has worked for the organization for nearly 30 years and served as president for the past 12.
I feel that strong organizations need a leadership development, and you need to, when you get the organization in a position that you have good candidates and good interest, it's really a time to step back. And there hasn't been very many presidents over time that have served much more 10 or 12 years. So I just think that fresh blood and bring the next generation look is important. And I'm all about the organization succeeding into the future. And I think that's really a good way to get that established.
Watney feels good about the future of the North Dakota Farmers Union.
I believe we bring a lot of influence to the direction that the state moves. I think we're an avid force out in D.C. working on farm programs. We've created a financial base that enables us to do a lot of the things that's necessary. We're training our youth. We're educating our members. We're got assets that are beyond the scope of what we imagine to carry forward and do work, and restaurants and businesses and working hard to develop new lines and working on technology. So I feel really good.
Watney's term continues to the end of the year with an election set for December.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune says the future of biofuel tax incentives, including those for sustainable aviation fuel and biodiesel, will depend on the outcome of upcoming votes and striking the right energy policy balance.
As we work through reconciliation, there will be some give and take, and obviously conversations around some of the energy policies and provisions that are in place today.
The inclusion of 45Z credits paired with updated Treasury guidance could unlock a major new market for corn ethanol and aviation fuel. But Thune says that hinges on securing 218 votes in the House and 51 in the Senate through budget reconciliation. He emphasized that his majority backs an energy strategy that's both balanced and robust.
I think most of us up here agree that an all-of-the-above energy strategy when it comes to American energy is the right one. But at the end of the day, it's about making America energy, not only energy independent, but energy dumb.
In a recent letter, four Senate Republicans urged Thune to take a targeted approach to repealing Biden-era clean energy tax credits to help fund an extension of President Trump's 2017 tax cuts.
Leaders of the Senate and House Ag Committees say they want to boost farm subsidies and crop insurance through the upcoming reconciliation bill, but how to address potential cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program remains uncertain. Senators John Bozeman and Amy Klobuchar, along with Congressman Glenn Thompson, shared their views during remarks to the North American Agricultural Journalists. Bozeman said risk management updates are crucial, pointing out that it is currently costs more to grow crops than farmers can earn. Thompson echoed that concern and said he wants to avoid SNAP benefit cuts, but is open to states sharing more of the program's costs. Klobuchar warned that going too far with SNAP reduction could threaten passage of a full farm bill.
Mexico has agreed to lift restrictions on USDA aircraft and waive customs duties on equipment used to fight the spread of the deadly New World screwworm. The move allows U.S. livestock imports to continue through Mexican ports. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. We're a quarter of the way through 2025 and still without a new farm bill. National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles says how Congress uses the budget reconciliation process to separate and fund certain parts of the current farm bill will be key.
It is likely to carry the tax cuts as well as government spending reductions. And because it may be the only train leaving the station this year, it may carry pieces of the farm bill. If they take care of those issues and also do a bunch of nutrition cuts in that reconciliation bill, it makes it really challenging to do anything further on the farm bill. Not impossible, but challenging.
Quarles says now is not the time to overreact.
And it's a frustrating situation. We're already into the second year of an extension of the existing farm bill. And for folks out there who are questioning why we need a farm bill in the future, to me, that's a little bit of an entitlement mentality. Those are folks who believe that your grocery store creates your food.
BASF Midwest seed agronomist Jeff Mueller is seeing a definite trend in acreage mix this spring.
Yes, I am seeing a trend for a few more farmers are planting more corn on corn this year than they have in the past. There's economics, obviously, behind that and some other things. But yes, seeing more corn on corn.
And for the highest yield potential, decisions must be made now to get the crop off to a good start. Mueller recommends the use of a seed treatment, good soil conditions, and proper setup of the planter.
The thing to remember, once that seed goes in the ground, that's 50% of the game right there, how it goes in the ground and its protection. You can't add something to it later on. So making sure we're correct with how things are going to the soil. Then on top of that, from a herbicide program, I like to start clean if possible, but what I always tell all farmers and producers is let's make sure we're putting down a good residual and we're layering our residuals through that year, and let's let our residuals do that heavy lifting, and then when we're doing our post-application of herbicides, we want those to kill any other weeds or grasses that we have out there.
The EPA and Department of the Army holding a WOTUS listening session for agriculture and industry stakeholders today. EPA Director of Oceans, Wetlands, and Communities Division, Stacy Jensen, talks about the need for clarity when defining WOTUS.
We have a set of what we're calling guiding principles as we move forward and embark on this effort with all of you. And really, it's to ensure our implementation aligns with the law, with the Sackett decision. We also want to focus on clarity, simplicity, and improvements that will stand the test of time. As I said, many of you, you know, you've been in this world, WOTUS world a while. We need to define this once and for all, standing the test of time. We need to prioritize practical implementation approaches. Regulation's no good if it can't be implemented. So we need to focus on prioritizing those practical implementation approaches and providing for a durable, stable, and more effective jurisdictional determinations and permitting actions.
There will be upcoming sessions held for the general public.
We have a number of them through April and May, really to hear from everyone. We are still working to finalize dates and times for our general public, but you are also welcome to participate in the general public sessions once they are posted, which should be very soon. And again, all of that input is received, is considered equally.
NDSU Extension Livestock Management Specialist Lacey Quayle says calving is going smoothly throughout the state.
What we've heard from agents across the state is that calving is going pretty well. There's some talk of turnout dates and wanting to know when that might be the best time for turnout dates to pasture with some dry conditions across the state. But overall, calving seems to be going well with the warmer temperatures here in the last few weeks. So haven't heard of any glaring issues across the state that I know of.
USDA will be leading a trade mission to Hong Kong May 12th through the 16th to boost market access and increase American agricultural exports. The delegation includes over 35 agribusinesses, trade groups, and state ag officials. Hong Kong is a major export destination and key gateway for U.S. ag products, importing $1.4 billion last year. Participants will hold business meetings with buyers from Hong Kong and the Philippines to explore new regional opportunities.
China, once again, the top soybean buyer in this week's USDA export sales report. China buying a combined 139,000 metric tons of old and new crop soybeans, accounting for nearly 30% of the total weekly old and new crop soybean sales. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota's Farmer Lender Mediation Program is reporting a noticeable increase in cases this year as farmers navigate growing economic uncertainty. This is Farmer Lender Mediation Program Director Mary Nell Preisler.
We're ahead already of the six. We do a six-month report as of the first of this month. And so we're ahead of last year by quite a bit, about 100 cases difference. So I think that's going to continue. And a lot of it is uncertainty about the economy, tariffs. People are very nervous. They don't know if they should take a loss now and sell their grain, or should we hold on, hope things work out.
Preisler compared the current farm economy to some of the toughest times in agricultural history.
We're back to almost an atmosphere of the mid-80s, where we had the high interest rate. Right now, I think we're getting in a lot of lenders who are not the traditional lenders. We get a lot of different companies that we've never heard of, and they're outstate. And small-town banks don't really know what to do either. I think they're at a quandary, too. They don't know, should we extend out some more? We need a cash flow that works, and we can't find a cash flow that works.
Checking quotes, July wheat Minneapolis up 3/4 to 597.5. July wheat Chicago up 2.25 to 533 even. Kansas City July hard red winter wheat down 0.25, 529.25. July corn down 2 cents, 473.5. July soybeans up 5.25 at 1049.75. In Winnipeg, July canola is up $8.90 per metric ton, 701.50 Canadian. June live cattle up $1.32, 209.72. August feeders down 87 cents, 294.15. June lean hogs are down 12 cents, 98.15. This is the Red River Farm Network.